So our next topic is a tender one, especially given today's news about a shooting at the Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut. We'll have the latest on that in the newscast. But that's the kind of story that paralyzes parents and maybe parents-to-be. The Pew Research Center recently announced the annual number of births in the U.S. dropped by 8% from 2007 to 2010. That's the lowest rate ever recorded in the U.S. And our next guest says she also fears not being able to afford a child. New York Times web producer Nadia Taha did research, and she and her husband decided to opt out of parenthood for now because they figured it would cost $1.7 million to raise a child. Now, we hear estimates all the time, but Nadia's is high, in part because she lives in Manhattan. And her article has stirred up a lot of controversy and feelings. So we want to spend some time with her. She joins us from the Argo Studios in New York. Welcome.
Hi, Robin.
And we want to say it wasn't just the money that led you to this decision. We'll get to some of the other reasons you and your husband have for deciding, at least for now, not to have children. But a lot of people felt even doing a cost-benefit analysis on having a child was somewhat off-putting.
Yeah, that's very true. It does seem sort of alarming to people. All of human history, we have reproduced and multiplied without really giving it much consideration. It's a basic biological function. But since the advent of birth control, becoming a parent has become more and more a lifestyle choice. We all know families who did some thinking about when to have their first child, whether to have a third. To me, it seemed pretty natural to sit down and look at the pros and cons. The tough thing about the decision is that you can see up front very clearly what some of the disadvantages are to having children, but the advantages are something that you can't know until you do it, or so they tell me.
Well, let's take a look at what you are, at least for now, and I keep saying that because you're in your 20s, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Never say never.
You are, at least for now, saying this is a disadvantage, this huge cost. And by the way, these calculations aren't new. There are online calculators. For instance, there's one at babycenter.com. We'll hook you up. But in 1971, way back then, the New York Times calculated that it cost the typical American family between $80,000 and $150,000 to raise two children. Here you are at $1.7 for one child. Now, the big news may be inflation. But you also found cost of children depend on where you live and what you need. Take us through some of the things that you thought you needed to calculate.
The USDA puts out every year some pretty good guidelines. They actually do this survey work to figure out what parents are actually spending. And then they break it down by income category, by whether it's a one- or two-parent household, and by geography. So I based a lot of my numbers on their math, which actually turns out to be more on the low side. Living in New York City, I'm not just in the urban Northeast. This is the most expensive city in the area. And there are some expenses. Transportation, for example, is not very expensive here. But other things are outrageous, like the cost of daycare. $20,000 a year or so is pretty typical for infant care, at least in Manhattan.
Well, by the way, I'm looking at the USDA news release of their cost of living, where they say a child born in 2011 will cost $234,900 to raise. They do say that expenses are the highest for families in the urban Northeast and the urban West, followed by the urban Midwest, and then families living in the urban South and rural areas have the lowest child-rearing expenses. And so it does vary across the country. So, okay, that's one of your first big numbers. Where'd you go next?
Housing. Now, this is a really tough thing. The way the USDA calculates their numbers, they take a look at, for example, the bedroom that the child occupies and figure out what proportion of the house that is and attribute that as the cost of housing the child. But that's sort of misleading. If you live in a bad school district, for example, because you don't have kids, well, when you do have kids, it's highly likely that you'll want to live somewhere where there's a good public school district. And this is going to mean higher taxes. This is going to mean higher rent or mortgage costs, et cetera. And it's not just about having space either. In Manhattan, there's a lot of walk-up buildings. It's really hard to live in a walk-up with a stroller that has to go up and down the stairs with you every time, or poor building security, or inconsistent heat and safety, et cetera, in your building. So these are all costs that we'd have to take into consideration and could mean well over $1,000 a month in additional rent without even factoring in this kid might need an extra bedroom.
There are people who don't have a choice. You know, they have to lug children and groceries and everything up and down the stairs. But you are saying, look, you and your husband both have jobs. You both make, do I understand, over 103,000? Because in one of the calculations, I think you said that combined.
Yeah, that's right.
And so you're being very honest. You're saying, this is what I would want to have.
Right. There's no question that this is not the cheapest way to have a child. By all means, you can move somewhere way less expensive. You can park the kids at your mom's house or whatever it is, if that's something that you have available to you. This is working with the realities of the life of what we consider to be like a pretty typical professional couple in their late 20s.
Right. And by the way, very honest, it's something you don't want to give up. That's the world you travel in. So you add, for instance, another $4,000 because if a child needs braces, you both had braces. You want to...
Exactly. So braces is an example. It's probably the only real luxury I can think of on that list.
Here's the biggest issue. The USDA estimate ends after 17 years. You're saying, no. I mean, you're assuming that you're going to have to help with the college of the whatever child you have.
Right. And even there, the numbers are incredibly conservative that I decided to use. I used the assumption that a kid would just go to a public four-year college and that we would only pay one half of it.
Well, and then after college, you even add in grandchildren and you go to MetLife, the insurance provider. They have an estimate for how much grandparents might spend on grandchildren.
They do. They said that over the course of, I think it's about 5 years, the grandparents spent over $8,000 on their children. Now, you know, again, some of us have this, some of them us don't, but this is on average what people are doing.
And MetLife includes the fact that grandparents are spending 2.5 times more on primary and secondary school tuition than they did 10 years ago. So it's not just that grandparents are going out and getting the iPods, although if they are, that's adding up too. Grandparents are increasingly helping with schooling. Some of the earlier articles that we were looking at, the New York Times has an article from 1977 called His Money, Her Children. And it's a reminder of how the world has changed. You factored in the cost of being a mother. How did you do that?
Well, this is what really puts the numbers over the top. And the numbers tend to top out at $1 million for the uber wealthy or something like that. The Washington Post had a sort of take on that in 2007 where they came up with basically $1 million. And I thought that that was outrageous and absurd. I could figure out how to do it for so much cheaper. But none of these numbers, including the USDA numbers, include the actual cost in foregone earnings, wage discrimination, and other factors that lead to women with children being paid much less than women who don't have children. According to a Columbia University study, women who have children earn about 80% less than their counterparts who don't have children working in the same jobs. So basically, I had to figure, what if I made 20% less money for the entire remainder of my career? That's a huge hit.
And you factored that hit into your total of $1.7 million cost overall. That's Nadia Taha, web producer for The New York Times. Her essay in the paper was entitled Opting Out of Parenthood with Finances in Mind. They also broke down the costs in the paper's Bucks blog. We'll link you to both at hereandnow.org, where we'd also love to hear your thoughts. Do you think she's right on the wrong track? Here, let us hear from you. Back in a minute, Here and Now. Welcome back. We're talking with Nadia Taha about her essay for the New York Times entitled Opting Out of Parenthood with Finances in Mind. She tallied daycare, housing, college, many other things, and the total came to $1.7 million. She and her husband said that's too much. And Nadia, just before the break, you were telling us that you tallied costs and losses. That's key because you heard, for instance, from Mike Mason of Dallas, who posted a comment on the New York Times website saying that as a chief financial officer, the numbers don't smell right to him. He says he raised 5 kids and his total earnings are nowhere near what your numbers would require. But you say what?
That's something that has been said repeatedly. The point is that the biggest cost, the foregone earnings of a mother with a professional career, is money lost. It's money that you never had in the first place.
You just don't see that money. You know that,
right, and that's a cost for the first child. Those costs go down over time because a lot of them are one-time costs, like moving to a safer neighborhood or a safer building.
I guess that gets to one of the main questions about this, Nadia, which is you're not saying that it would be impossible to do. You're saying that you look at that lost cost and you seem unwilling to lose that money.
Well, the way I think of it is this. People, when they reach a certain age, seem to find a certain biological calling. For those of us who are on the fence, it's more of a lifestyle thing than a money thing. It's an idea of how it changes your relationships, your day-to-day life, and other practical things. But unfortunately, it's much harder to see what you could stand to gain because emotions are so much less tangible.
And you've had people tell you that intangible that you don't yet know, the bond of a parent and a child, is incalculable. It's like the American Express commercial, priceless, and you're just not feeling that.
Well, anyone who knows children knows that they are priceless. And I have a lot of children in my life who are very meaningful to me. I love babies, absolutely love them.
You and your husband both do, yep.
Yeah, me and my husband both do. He's wonderful with kids. We both are. But the question of altering your way of being so dramatically without knowing that you can pull it off and feel like you're doing a good job is one of the huge dangers. I imagine that being a parent in general comes with a lot of guilt as you struggle with a lot of decisions. But feeling like you literally don't have the resources available to do the best job could be heartbreaking.
A couple things. First of all, you say you and your husband both have children in your lives that you adore and you'd rather spend the extra money on them, make their lives better.
Yeah.
Has anyone suggested to you of your loved ones that, again, that you are young and that perhaps some of these fears that you're talking about of the unknown, maybe before you make that hard and fast decision, which, by the way, you get past a certain age, it's harder to change, that you maybe, talk to a counselor or something about that. Again, I don't want to insult you. You seem very intelligent.
Sure.
But have you thought about that, exploring whether there's something else going on?
No, I really haven't. It seems pretty clear on its face. And there's something about that that actually bothers me, which is this notion that, young women who don't want to have children have something wrong
with problem. Them. Right, right. Well, that's why I was asking, have people suggested that to you?
Well, and anonymous internet commenters are, but, my family who I'm closest to are a bunch of cousins who are in their 30s, and they all have between 2 and 5 kids, and they love their kids, and they're glad they had them, but they're all able to see the flip side of the coin.
And that's interesting. You have had mothers say to you, good for you.
Yeah. It's unfortunate and sad, but there is a segment of society, there are people who do regret the decision to have children. Those people obviously aren't as outspoken or aren't heard as much as the people who, are convinced that this was the best thing they ever did.
Well, I'm reading one of those comments that you might have referred to. Nicole from Brooklyn, New York writes, "We can't blame people for only knowing what they know at the time. This is what Ms. Taha knows. I venture to guess she may feel differently when she gets a bit older." Is that insulting, or are you open to that possibility?
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
The bottom line is financial security is something that is a very, very big priority to me.
There is one last category that I can think of that people raise when they hear someone isn't having a child, which is, who's going to take care of you when you're older?
Yeah, I hear that a lot, in fact. And the bottom line for me is you don't have kids so that they can turn around and do something for you.
You had a failing, in fact, dying parent, and you realized that you could not do anything for him. I mean, he needed so much more.
That's very true. So my father died 3 months ago of pancreatic cancer, and he was at home under hospice care in his final weeks, which meant that a nurse came by every couple of days. But for the most part, I, with the help of my sister and my husband, was doing most of his care. It was very apparent to us, and we all walked away from that experience saying, regardless of how much you might love your loved one and love the idea of them being cared for by you, there is no substitute for qualified professional medical care. Another point about my father, he was a physician specialized in geriatric care. And I know from spending time with him, nursing homes are full of old people who are parents and grandparents who don't have anyone to visit them.
Yeah.
It's kind of a bad bet if that's why you're doing it.
Sorry for the loss of your father.
Thanks.
You had this bond with him. You don't want to reproduce that bond with a child.
Yeah, that's the most convincing argument that I can think of, honestly. The most convincing argument to have kids is to think about that. However, it really does go back to, maybe. Let me back up.
Yeah, maybe.
It is something that I do think about, but the bottom line is it's one item in that column, and there's a lot of items in the other column in weighing this decision.
That's Nadia Taha, who wrote the essay in the New York Times entitled "Opting Out of Parenthood with Finances in Mind." She tallied the cost of raising a child and concluded that it was too much for her and her husband, at least for now. Nadia, thanks so much for talking to us about this.
Thanks for having me, Robin.
And again, if you'd like to weigh in on this, we'd love to hear from you at hereandnow.org. You're listening to Here and Now.